Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, so we're looking, beloved saints of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want you to understand that this is a time in the end times when many are going to depart from the faith. So we will see in Deborah's mission here on earth, and that mission that is such a powerful mission is going to prophetically prefigure the battle that the church has in the end times. And let us see one more text so that what we're going to show you from the book of Judges, from the song of Deborah, we'll be able to understand how it points to prophetic future. Let us look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, continuing in the context of understanding in the last days, many are going to be deceived. They're going to fall away from the faith. Put your hands up and say this with me. I want to serve Jesus all the days of my life and not look back and say at one time, I loved him more or served him more. Every day I will serve him more fervently. And I never want to lose any of the grace that he gave me from the very beginning. I'm holding on to it. Hallelujah. Say, I'm holding on to it. Amen. Now, beloved saints, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, looking at verse 2, but we'll go right to verse 3. The Bible says, now, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day is he speaking about? The day of the coming of the Lord. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, which is the Antichrist. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Are you with me, saints? If you are, say amen. So we are looking today, and how do we know that Deborah's war, because we're going to study just for a moment Deborah's war, and her war is like the war of the end time church. We're going to learn supernatural secrets tonight, that how to have victory in battle. How many of you want to have victory in battle? Amen. It's already been promised to us, and we can receive it by studying Deborah's war. I want us to go quickly to Judges chapter 5, and we will see the song of Deborah. This doesn't mean that Deborah was just singing. All right, this is a song of victory. This is a prophetic song, like the Psalms. The Psalms are prophetic. They teach us prophetically what's in our heart. They teach us prophetically how to discern our own heart. They teach us prophetically about the realm that we cannot see, the Psalms. Well, also, the Song of Deborah is just as prophetic as any psalm in the Bible. Judges chapter 5, verse 18. Let's look at this. The Bible says, Zebulun and Naphtali were a people who jeoparded their lives to the death in the high places of the field. Then the Bible goes on to say, let's just look in just a moment. Let's go down to verse 19. The kings came and fought the kings of Canaan in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo, and they took no gain of money. Say this with me, by the waters of Megiddo. So we need to understand something about Megiddo, because Megiddo is the Hebrew name for Armageddon. Armageddon is the Greek name that we have. And what do we know about Armageddon? It is the last battle, right? It is an end time battle, isn't it? So when Deborah is prophesying about the victory that Israel had, she is using the kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan in Tanakh. Tanakh is also a prophetic, it's a prophetic word that is used here, that they fought in Tanakh. Tanakh is the Hebrew word for Hebrew Bible. They fought in Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. Megiddo being, beloved saints, Megiddo being that supernatural secret of end times. I want us to raise our hands right now and say this with me. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you right now that I would be so sensitive to the end time battle, and that tonight, wonderful Lord, you would teach me the supernatural secrets of Deborah's war. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen and amen. Now, first of all, we need to understand that Deborah's war not only prophetically parallels the end times and the falling away of the end times. You may say, how does Deborah's war prophetically parallel the great falling away of the end times? Well, I want to show you from the book of Judges in the fourth chapter. Let's go to Judges chapter 4. And we are going to look at Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to, first of all, look at the historical background here, and then we will become prophetic. The Bible says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Bible says, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. Now, first of all, I want you to understand, back in the book of Joshua, Hazor was a stronghold of Canaan. Hazor was the place all the foreign kings of Canaan congregated. And Jabin was the captain over all the Canaanite kings. Are you hearing this? And Joshua took Hazor by force in Joshua 11, verses 10 and 11. He wiped the place out. He drove out the Canaanites, and he burnt Hazor with fire. And so this rising up again of Canaanites from the same city that Joshua had already driven out is prophetic, because it is teaching us that once we've been delivered, we need to stay delivered. And it is showing us that it is very easy for another spirit to come back into our lives 10 times stronger. Because if you notice, now there are 900 chariots of iron that have added to the oppression, which made it worse than it was in the time when Joshua conquered it. So it came back stronger. Say this with me. Tonight I'm going to learn how to drive out chariots of iron. And I'm not going back. See, what the chariots of iron are spiritually synonymous with, because we will read in a moment that Jabin, the king of Canaan, actually tormented and mightily oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years, and he had 900 chariots of iron. Let's look at the word of God. The Bible says in verse 2, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor. And the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. This is the place that the Bible was speaking of. If we can just go quickly to Joshua chapter 11, verses 10 and 11, so we can see the referencing, because I want to demonstrate to you, we're not going to let spirits back in. This is why you can never allow the enemy a foothold. You can never allow, once something God has delivered your finances, don't let him back in. Once God has delivered your body, don't let him back in. Once God has delivered your family, don't let him back in. Are you with me? No matter what you have to do, no matter what you have to do to stop that spirit, you're not going to let it back in, because if it comes back in, it's going to come back in stronger. Put your hand up right now and say, I'm not letting the enemy back. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've already been there and done that, and I learned from my mistakes. Ask your neighbor, did you turn your mistake into a miracle? Say, if you learned from your mistakes, you did. But child, if you did not learn from your mistakes, if you did not learn from trials you went through last year, that same spirit's going to come this year to tempt you with the same thing he tried to take you out with last year. Put your hands up right now and say, I've got my guards up. This time I'm not letting the enemy in. This time I'm going out of my way to defeat him. Because if he comes in this time, he's going to take you out completely. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. The Bible says in Joshua 11, verse 10, and Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor. Didn't we just see Hazor? Hallelujah. And Harosheth the Gentiles. The Bible says, and he smote the king thereof with the sword, and for Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. Looking at verse 11. And they smote all the souls therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. And there was not any left to breathe, and he burnt Hazor with fire. So that means it was totally gone. There was nothing left. The Canaanites were driven out. All right, are you with me? But now we are learning something prophetic. Because Deborah and her calling is to break a belief system. Now, let me tell you how she's going to break the belief system. Because she is going to break the trend to descend to a lower level. Say this with me. Deborah is anointed as God's prophetess and judge to break the trend to descend to a lower level. Say this with me. I will never enter the trend to descend to a lower level. I'm always going to stay in the place God wants me to stay. I'm never going to go for compromise. I'm never going to accept a compromise as the new normal. Tell your neighbor, I'm not receiving serving God less. I'm not going to take serving God less as the new normal. It will never be in my life. I will never compromise. Come on. I will never compromise in Jesus' mighty name. Come on and give God the praise and give God the glory. All right. So the trend to descend to a lower level has already begun in Israel. Long before Deborah was initiated as the prophetess judge. I want you to understand the trend to descend started at the end of Joshua's life. Joshua had already accomplished everything he was supposed to accomplish. At 40 years old, he was 40 years old when they came out of Egypt. He wandered 40 years, but he was assigned to Moses because of his faithfulness. He became Moses' attendant. The Bible describes Joshua and his faithfulness to God. That he was Moses' servant. Moses' children were not chosen to take his place. It was Joshua. Joshua received that anointing from Moses. That's why God said in Numbers chapter 27, verse 18, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. And he was sent with the 12 spies up to spy out Canaan. And only two came back with the report of the Lord. And one was Joshua, the other was Caleb. Are you with me, saints? Do you all understand? So at the end of Joshua's life, after he did all the initial groundwork of the conquering of Canaan. He drove out more giants than any other person in biblical history. If you think David was a giant slayer, he was nothing compared to Joshua. Are you hearing me? Joshua took them out at 80 years old because the wandering in the wilderness did not age him because he was under the anointing. Are you with me? And it wasn't God's will for Joshua to have to be held back. So God just said, we're just going to jump ahead these 40 years. Boom, as if the 40 years wandering in the wilderness didn't take place. And I'm moving you right into your destiny when you get to the land of Canaan. You are going to conquer the land of Canaan. You are going to drive out the giants and bring them down. The land of Canaan, as you know, those of you who have been studying with us, was the land of the giants. The giants weren't just despised because they were tall, big, huge giants. No. They were so exceedingly wicked. The Bible tells us in the various different breeds of giants. We saw this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, last Sunday when we were here. We learned that the breeds of the giants are all different, because their names are different in Hebrew. In English, it's all giants. But in Hebrew, there is selected names for the different breeds of giants. The first breed of giants are the Nephilim, which means the fallen ones. This means they fell from something. So what did they fall from? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, the Nephilim, I am on the end, meaning plural. They fell, and Jesus said in the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke in the 10th chapter in the 18th verse, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So we understand the falling. We see it not only in Luke chapter 10 verse 18, but we also see the falling in Revelation chapter 12. The Bible says the dragon took one third of the stars of God and they fell to the earth. Are you hearing me? Stars of God does not mean stars that are in the sky. It means stars of God in the book of Revelation, according to the language of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 19 tells us the stars are the angels of God. Are you hearing me? So one third of the heavenly host fell from heaven down to the earth. And so because the Bible calls the Nephilim the fallen ones, there are tremendous amount of spiritual similarities between the giants that were in the earth and demonic power because of the wickedness. Are you hearing me? If you are, say amen. And this is why studying the names of the giants, for example, one of the names of the giants is called the Raphaim. The Raphaim means to make one weak. People would look at the giants and become completely intimidated. But it also means temptation that makes us weak and not able to serve God. The weakness of a giant that can make you weak instead of being strong to go and serve God in the capacity by which he has anointed you to serve him. Hello, somebody. And the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, the second chapter, the Bible tells us that the giants that were in the land of Moab were actually, they were giants and they were emims. And the word emim literally means terror. So they were terrorizers. And then we also see in Deuteronomy in the second chapter, the giants that occupied the land of the Ammonites. They were called the Zamzumims. The Zamzumims is taken from the word, the Hebrew word zamam, which means to mutter or to mutter or utter some evil speech. Are you hearing me? So we're seeing strongholds, principalities, and powers likened unto the giants So when you go to fight your giant, you know that a giant, when it faces you, hallelujah, you've been anointed to bring it down. Because the verb, hallelujah, say, I've been anointed to bring it down. Because the verb of the word Nephilim, if you use it for the verb nafal means to fall. So that means the destiny of every giant is to fall before you. Say this with me. The destiny of every giant is to fall before me. Somebody ought to give God the praise. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so we also have another species of giants that are shown to us in 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, let's look at that just really quickly. I feel the Holy Ghost going in that direction. 2 Samuel chapter 20. In 2 Samuel chapter 20, we see one of David's last battles. And actually, it's 2 Samuel chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. The Bible says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. He was old and he went out to fight. And the Bible says, and Ishbi-Benob, which was of the son of the giant. What does Ishbi-Benob mean? Ishbi-Benob is a name in Hebrew that means high place. So spirits that are in high places that have great authorities, are you hearing this? They have authority over realms. These are likened unto the giants, Ishbi-Benob. And the Bible goes on to say how heavy his spear was. And his weight of his brass, which was just about 300 shekels under Goliath. And we see verse 17 or verse 16, the Bible says, he being girded with a new sword thought to have killed David. My goodness. This is wickedness. Are you hearing me? But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, you will no more go out with us to battle, for you will not quench the light of Israel. Then we see more giants. And the Bible says, and after this, there again was a battle with the Philistines at Gov. Gov is a place that means iniquity. Then Sibbecai the Hushite slew Saph. Saph is also mentioned in the Second Chronicles version or the First Chronicles version of this text. And Saph in Hebrew means storm or tempest. So there are storms that we go through in life that are very grievous, that are giant-like. When you have to face a storm, when you have to face a trial, when you have to face a tribulation that you didn't plan on, it's like the giant Saph coming up against you. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, you have already received dominion over all your giants, and somebody ought to give God the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's a few more. Just continue on to verse 19. Verse 19 says, and it came to pass, hallelujah, and there was again a battle in Gov, this place that means iniquity, and with the Philistines were Elhanan, the son of Ya'arari Oregam, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite. This is the brother of Goliath that David slew. Okay? The name Goliath is very powerful because it comes from the Hebrew word golah, where we get the Hebrew word exile. I said where we get the Hebrew word exile. There are certain giants that have been assigned to move you out of your place. to exile you out of your land, to keep you in a place away from your destiny. And tonight, every Goliath-like spirit is coming down in the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to give God the praise and the glory. I'm sorry, I got to go off in this direction. It's where the Holy Ghost is leading it. Oh, God, we give you praise. Say this with me. I'm not going to allow a giant to exile me out of my destiny. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you feel like you're so discouraged that you're just going to stay in another place other than the place God called you? Ask your neighbor. Are you so discouraged, or are you so tempted, or so lukewarm, or so double-minded that you have come into a place that you have allowed the giant to tempt you to go in a place outside of your land? Tell your neighbor, beware, because you may never come back to your land if you don't get rid of this giant now. Hallelujah. Don't accept it as the new normal. It's not the new normal. Oh, glory to God. Now, there are also, continuing in the context, we are looking at 2 Samuel 21, going to verse 20. And there was yet a battle again in Gath. This is where Goliath was from, Goliath of Gath. And there was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes. And 24 and 20 in number. And he was also born to the giant. Can you imagine? These from where Goliath is from. And when Goliath came, the Bible tells us, look at the next verse. The Bible says he defied Israel. Do you realize? That's exactly what Goliath did. If you go to 1 Samuel 17, you will see on a daily basis that Goliath was defying Israel. There are certain giant-like demonic spirits that want to defy you not to go forward into your destiny. To defy means to blaspheme. It means to mock, to blaspheme, to come out of order. Are you hearing me? He defied Israel. And that's exactly what Goliath did to Israel. And this is why David took on Goliath, because he wasn't going to allow that giant to defy the armies of the living God. Are you hearing me? What's coming up against you to defy you? To tell you that you're not anointed. To tell you that you can't go forward in your ministry. To tell you you can't go here. To tell you you got to stay in this place in exile. You're not coming into your promised land. A giant that's a liar. Are you hearing me? Every single one of these giants with their different names have different spirits, and they represent different breeds of wickedness. But tonight we're bringing them down. Tonight we're not going to allow those giants in the name of Jesus. This is why God said, look if you will at Deuteronomy chapter 9, because the whole reason God gave the land of Canaan to the children of Israel was to take the land of the giants because of their wickedness. Are you hearing me? Say this with me. I can defeat a giant in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not afraid of the giant that's defying my destiny. I'm not afraid, hallelujah, of Saf, of what kind of storm it tries to bring me, because Jesus calms my storm. Are you hearing me? This is why it's so important for us to know. Notice. Hear, O Israel, you are to pass over Jordan this day to go in and possess nations greater and mightier than yourself. Put your hands up and say, I know it's my destiny when it's greater than what I can accomplish on my own. Come on, I know it's my destiny when there's no way in the world I can do this by myself. I know it's my destiny. When it doesn't depend on my finance, when it doesn't depend on who I know, when it doesn't depend on what I can do, I know it's my destiny, hallelujah. When it's something that's so great, I can't do it. Are we hearing this? The Bible says, nations greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. Why were the cities fenced up to heaven? And look back at the verse. It says, nations greater and mightier. Cities fenced up to heaven. Look at the next verse. A people great and tall. Turn to your neighbor and say, all the Canaanites were related to giants. A people great and tall. Children of the Anakim. Who were the Anakims? The Anakims were the generation after the Nephilim. They were the descendants of the Nephilim. The Nephilim were around 13 feet tall, and the Anakims were 9 feet tall. Are you with me? Okay, so the Anakims were descendants of the Nephilim. And so when they went into the promised land, there's just not just one or two giants. Joshua became an ongoing giant slayer. He slew more giants than anyone else in the entire Bible. Do you want that reference? How many of you want that reference to know that Joshua slew more than anyone else? Okay, let's go to Joshua just for a moment. I want to give you the reference. I don't want you to believe Dr. Michelle. I want you to believe the word. Go with me to Joshua chapter 11, looking at verse 21. Oh, glory to God. Joshua chapter 11, verse 21. Because if you're going to go in and possess your promised land, child, you better be ready to be a giant slayer. Say this with me. Tonight, I'm getting anointed to take my own territory. Tonight, I'm getting anointed to go in and possess my promised land. So that means I have to be anointed tonight to be a giant slayer. Are you with me, saints? Notice what the word says. At that time, oh glory, at that time came Joshua and cut off the what? Oh my. From the mountains, say it with me, from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anav, from all the mountains of Judah, and all the mountains of Israel. Child, that's a lot of giants. They're giants who occupied all those territories. They occupied the mountains from Hebron, Mount Debir, Anav, all the mountains of Judah, all the mountains of Israel. The Bible says Joshua destroyed them utterly with all their cities. You and I must know Joshua was 80 years old when he went in to do this. This is because the Lord has promised he will destroy our giants. We don't have to destroy them. God will go before us if we're willing to walk in his ways. If we're willing to believe God, we will see. Hallelujah. Say this with me. If I'm willing to believe God, I will see miracles and those giants will come down. Are you with me? This is why going back to Deuteronomy chapter 9, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 9, looking at the word of the living God. Hallelujah. A people great and tall, the Anakims, whom you knew and who you heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Now watch this verse 3. Understand, therefore, this day that the Lord your God is he which goes over before you as a consuming fire, and he will destroy them. Say this with me. The destroyer of my giant is the Lord. He's going to give me the strength. He's going to use my hands. He's going to use my mouth. He's going to give me faith. But it won't be me. It will be him in me. Come on. It will be him in me bringing down the giants. Somebody ought to give God the praise and give God the glory. This is why the Lord says, understand this day, therefore, that the Lord your God is he which goes before you as a consuming fire, and he will destroy them. And he shall bring them down before your face. So shall you drive them out. Say, I'm going to cast them out like I cast out a demon. Come on, I'm going to cast out the giants like I cast out a demon. As the Lord has said to you. Hallelujah. Next verse. Hallelujah. You and I need to know it was not for our righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but it was for, look at the last line of verse 4, because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord does drive them out from before us. So we know and we understand precept upon precept that the giants were a wicked people. Are you understanding this? Tonight I want to speak of one more giant. And those are the giants that Moses brought down. There are four categories of giant slayers in the Bible. Number one, the first giant slayer in biblical history, besides Abraham. It doesn't use the word Anakims specifically for Abraham. But the first one that was the giant slayer is Moses. Go with me to Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua chapter 14, we see the story of Moses, how he brought down Og and Sihon. Og and Sihon are destiny defiers. Say this with me, destiny defiers. That want to block my path. They want to block my path to my destiny. Hallelujah. Let me just look here. Okay, it's Joshua 13, verse 12. Joshua 13, verse 12. And let's look at this before we pray. The Bible says, all the kingdom of Og in Bashan, which reigned in Ashtaroth in Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants. For these did who? Come on, let's hear you say it. One, two, three, go. For these did Moses smite and cast them out. Say this with me, to cast out. Like casting out a devil. Notice it's spiritually synonymous with the New Testament teaching us to cast out devils. All right. These did Moses, the Bible says, the remnant of the giants, these did Moses smite and cast them out. So I want you to see who Og is. Og is known for his bedstead. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11, I want you to see it. We just went off in this direction. Please forgive me, saints, but I got to do it. God is telling me that you're going to be giant slayers. And tonight you're going to be receiving the anointing to slay your giant. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Bible says here in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11, only Og of King of Bashan remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbah of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits was the breadth thereof, after the cubit of a man. He was huge. All right, what do we learn from Og? Number one, we learn from Og that his bedstead was iron. When you come up against iron in the spirit realm, you can't break through. You just keep getting iron. You can't break through. Have you ever prayed and felt a wall? Have you ever prayed and felt iron and felt bondage? Tonight, God's going to anoint you to bring that iron down. You're going to shatter it. Because the only thing that can shatter iron is the anointing. Say this with me. The only thing in the spirit that can shatter iron is the anointing. Come on. The only thing that can shatter iron in the spirit is the anointing.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.